Hello, Internet, and welcome back to another week of JL Play, the podcast with the host screaming into the ether, hoping someone will hear him. Also, the podcast is on every platform of choice, Spotify, YouTube Music, or YouTube Podcast, whatever they're calling it, and iTunes, or you can just listen to it on the webs. But speaking of iTunes, if you're on iTunes, please give this podcast 5 stars to make the podcast more visible to others out there that haven't discovered this. And on top of that, if you like, share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you like to talk to about podcasts, TV shows, or anything in general of that sort, like animes, mangas, the whole nine. Tell them about the guy that's just screaming into the ether with his wacky comments and his over-the-top demeanor. And if you're so inclined, there's also a donate button for you right there in the show notes. Just go to the podcast page link. You'll see a donate button right there. Only if you're capable of doing it. Do not donate if it'll cause you any financial hardship whatsoever. That's not why I'm asking. I'm only asking if you are willing to and you are able to. And don't forget that everything I talk about in the show has links for it in the show notes. So, what would I be talking about this week? Well, I will be talking about Look Away, a movie on Amazon Prime. Also, I will be talking about Tokyo Vice, HBO Max series. And finally, Oma, another movie streaming for you on all major streaming platforms of your choice. So, with that, let's get right into it with a little bit of a topic, just some news for you, just some actual gaming news if you're interested. So, it is this. Game over, yeah! I just beat my first playthrough of Elden Ring, and holy cow, is that last boss cheesy. Well, not cheesy, but difficult in more ways than one. And it's also a letdown because as difficult as it wasn't more difficult than Malenia. I hope I pronounced that right, but if I didn't, sorry. She was the most difficult boss out of all of them, most definitely. I believe that she should have been the last boss of the game. Instead, we got this bootleg Sephiroth character. Honestly, instead of turning into a giant two-winged angel, he turns into a giant whale with wings and shit. I really don't know what to call it. This just beast. But yeah, I think that she was the most difficult boss out of everybody that I faced. I honestly died at least 50 times, and that's with co-op help. So yeah, that's just insane. Like, at first, I tried to do it myself. Like, nah, I ain't having it. Then I did it with co-op help. And, yeah, after, like, a few 20 more deaths, I was able to finally get somebody that was actually able to help me beat her. And the same thing happened with the final boss. After, like, another 20 deaths or whatever. Actually, it was less, so like, 10 deaths or something like that. I was finally able to beat it. And quite frankly, do not look down on those co-op boss fights. They're such a great help. Even though you might have already have gotten the mimic attribute. Yeah, that thing only does so much. This, having that co-op help is so, it's such a relief because they're able, especially if you're not a good player like I am. I'm a horrible player. And they were just able to do an amazing job aggroing the boss and helping me control, you know, everything. Again, finally beat first round of Elden Ring. I don't know if I'm gonna go for round two, but we'll see how things progress. I'm still waiting for Trek to Yomi. And with that little bit of gaming news, let's get right into it with the first topic this week, which is Look Away.
Jungle out there. You sure you want to go to school looking like that?
What?
I really didn't mean to do that.
Maria. Who are you? You don't remember me?
We have a screwed up daughter.
He has no friends.
He's mine, you know.
She has no confidence.
This is your time to shine.
Okay, that was the trailer for Look Away, starring India Ezeli, Jason Isaacs, Maria Sorvino, Penelope Mitchell, and John C. McDonald. Just to name some of the cast here. Now, a quick synopsis for this is, a timid and socially alienated 17 to 18-year-old high school student, life is turned upside down when she switches places with her sinister mirror image. This is one of those films where everybody is effed up straight up from the get-go. Like, her father is just a biggest prick. He's cheating on his wife with one of his clients. He tells his daughter that she's ugly, and one of the things that he's going to do for her when her birthday comes is give her, you know, plastic surgery. It's like, yeah, this guy wins shittiest father of the decade award for real. And the mother is pretty much always, like, I guess, drugged up. Like, she's constantly just popping pills and always sleeping during the day. And she's having body issues. She's having, you know, anxiety about, well, not really anxiety, but she's having doubts of how she looks, and, you know, she doesn't feel attractive enough. And then all of a sudden, one day, she starts hearing a voice, and it's, you know, it's her mirror image. It's like literally her mirror image. Like, she looks in the mirror, and that reflection is looking back at her and talking to her at the same time. And she's also being bullied by this rich kid in school. She only has two friends. Her best friend is this girl and the girl's boyfriend, which she herself, Maria, which is played by India, is actually secretly has a crush on him. So there's that whole situation that plays in later. Like, honestly, this movie came out in 2018. It is not going to win any awards. I just literally saw this because I was looking for something on Prime. Quite frankly, it just looked interesting from the bit of the trailer that I saw. I'm like, okay, I'll check it out. And it isn't that bad, honestly. It's, again, nothing to write home about. But the movie itself isn't that bad. The acting, for the most part, is all well done. The only real, I think the only real letdown in this movie was Maria Sorvino, who played India Isley's mother. She, I don't know what it was. It literally felt like she just came out of acting school and this was her first role. Yeah, it feels like one of those, it's a favor for a director or a producer out there. They wanted to put his wife or his girlfriend or whatever into this movie. So she ended up playing her mother. It's literally that. I don't know if Maria Sorvino has done anything else. I can look it up if I wanted to, but honestly, I really don't. It's not that important. It's in any way, it's irrelevant to the movie itself. She was definitely the weakest part of the film. Other than that, everybody else, I think, did an amazing job playing their role, playing their characters extremely well. And believe me when I say, you really wanted to hate a lot of these people, if not all of them. Like, they did an amazing job making you hate them. And yeah, it's just interesting. Like, as soon as she switches bodies, you know, she gives her body up to her mirror image. It just pretty much becomes, you could say, kind of like a horror film. Let's say she just goes around killing people. She ended up killing her best friend because of jealousy and the fact that she believes that her best friend is actually not, you know, not really a friend. She's just using her or whatever. She looks at her like she's like a little puppy and she just feels sorry for her. That's the reason they're friends. So this mirror image of her ends up, quote unquote, accidentally killing her. And from there, she ends up spiraling out. She ends up hooking up with her dead best friends now. She's end up hooking up with her boyfriend, which in turn, you know, they become lovers and they start, you know, constantly having sex and all this. There is nudity in here. There is full nudity, full frontal nudity. It's from India Edsley or India. Like, she has full frontal nudity in this. So if you don't want to see that, don't watch this movie. That kind of took me by surprise because I did not expect that in this type of film, but, or in this type of, you know, yeah, just in this type of film, I did not expect it. Then they started showing her little by little. They kept showing more and more. They started with breasts, then they started showing, you know, side boob and butt shot when she's taking a shower. I'm like, and then at one point, it's full frontal. I'm like, Jesus, man, like, what the hell? And it, again, it's one of those films that honestly really didn't need it. You did not need to have her be naked in this. It's, this movie could easily have been done without that. But hey. And quite frankly, there's a reason why this movie probably never got hit up or people didn't see it. There's not much talk about it. Like I said, it wasn't really that good. But in general, it is a decent film. Overall, it does talk about body dysmorphia, what is beauty, you know, self-doubt, also mental illness. It throws a lot at you, and it really should have stuck to one topic, but it throws it to where it kind of works, and quite frankly, that's decent enough for me. It's like, it kind of works, it kind of, you know, fit. It definitely fits in with the film, but is just, I found it that they were just trying to shoot too much at you. And with that, instead of just honing in on just one specific altercation with whatever she's facing, which is this quote-unquote possessed thing, which you find out technically it's her twin sister that wasn't born at the ending, which makes it's all over the place, like I said. Just like this topic, just like my rant right now. So yes, that's why I'm going to leave it for Look Away. If you are interested in it, it's on Amazon Prime. If you're a Prime member, it's free to watch. You don't have to pay nothing extra. Okay, next. Let's move on to the HBO series, Tokyo Vice.
You used to be a crime reporter in Japan. Why?
Aige!
Aige!
Gizin!
You like busting my balls, huh?
It is a great joy of my life.
この街の本当の姿を裏の仕組みを知りたいんです。
And let me guess, this is how you recruit a cop.
いいか、ジェイク。With information, everything you do has consequences. There's always a cost.
This is Sato. He's not as brooding as he seems.
What's it like to be a yakuza? I could write about that.
Yes, but then I'd have to kill you.
この国じゃ分野は嫌われてる。優秀なやつは特にな。
優秀な新聞記者は敵が多いってことですね。
敵のいねえ男は男じゃねえ。
This world, once we open a door, it is very hard to close.
Don't write about this.
Okay, that was the trailer for Tokyo Vice, and holy cow, did it require a lot of editing. And Tokyo Vice stars Ansel Elgort, Ken Watanabe, Riko Kikuchi, Ilya Ramph, and Hideki Itō. And the quick synopsis for this is a first-hand account of the Tokyo Metropolitan Police beat following Jake Anderstein, an American journalist who embedded himself into the Tokyo Vice Police Squad to reveal corruption. Based on Jake Anderstein's nonfiction book of the same name, Tokyo Vice. And that's where I have a problem with this film. I am a big fan of the book, Tokyo Vice. And this is a far, far cry from the book. I'm going to keep this short and sweet. I've only watched the first 3 episodes. And they have characters here. They input characters here that have nothing to do with the main story or what any of it has to do. This is all going to be a dramatization of this guy's life. The Japanese spoken here is great. The actor, wow, he learned Japanese. Good for him. You know, this is one of the biggest disappointments of this year so far. Quite frankly, I am truly disappointed. I was expecting this to be an amazing miniseries, especially with Ken Watanabe attached to it. But instead, we get melodrama. We followed his life all the way in the beginning when he's studying Japanese, trying to figure out everything that's happening, you know, getting ready for the exam. And he's just studying and he's just getting ready for the exam. Next thing you know, he takes the exam, passes it, and he's the first foreigner to ever be part of a Japanese newspaper. The New York Times of Japan, you can call it. And then he has to learn all the ropes. He has to learn how the system works. It's a whole fish out of water type of scenario that they're making here. And now they added like characters like this girl who works at this hostess club with other foreign women, and they put in her drama and her bullshit. Like, I don't care about your drama. I don't care that you want to start your own hostess club and you're going to bring some girls over and you want to keep it a secret because you don't want your boss to find out, and then you end up telling the wrong person. From watching, as soon as you know from the scene, shh, don't tell nobody, okay? You know that girl is going to go tell somebody later on in the next episode or whatever. It is so stupid. It is so out of place. It absolutely does not need to be here. If you guys ever read the book, you know that this book is a short book. It is small. This could have just been a nice 7-episode miniseries of Jake's life, you know, through the book, reading the book, you know, and him recounting his time there. But no, we don't have that. What we have is a major dramatization of a show that's going to drag on and on. It's supposed to be an hour-long show, right? You want to make a miniseries, this could easily have been a 30 to 45-minute show. No, this has to be a full hour. Now we have to make up stories for all these people that are now part of freaking Jake's life for whatever reason. Again, this is a bastardization of the book. And when they say loosely based, you best to believe this is loosely based on his book. I don't know how he gave the okay for this. I guess he just wanted to get paid. And I guess he didn't care that they were going to do this. Either that or they just jerked him on the deal. And now he has no say in what they do with the material. But this is just not anything. Honestly, read the book. If you don't want to read, go on Audible. It's on Audible. It'll be read to you. Even that experience is better than watching this show. This is horrible. I honestly hated this freaking show. I couldn't wait till the episode was over. Seriously, the only good parts was everything about Jake. Every time the show went away from Jake, it got boring, it got dull, it did not need to be there. It just was utter garbage. You could tell it was just horseshooting. It is that bad. And that's how I'm going to leave the review. Tokyo Vice is a hard, hard pass. Absolutely a hard pass. And an utter disappointment from a fan of the book. And no, I was not expecting a one-to-one recreation from the book, but I was expecting at least, well, let me put you this way. I was not expecting what we got. I was expecting something here into the book or, you know, that followed the book more closely, but not this. And with that, let's move on to the main event, which is Oma.
Mom, what is this?
We need more colonies.
But that's a lot more work.
But it's nothing the two of us can't handle together.
Your life is so retro. Do you even have a phone?
No.
So how do you talk to your friends?
My mom is my friend.
Who are you?
네 엄마가 돌아가셨다.
이 가방 속에 있는 한 엄마는 더 커질 거다.
No! Get out of my house.
도대체 어떤 딸이 네 엄마를 버리고 떠나니? 어?
What's in the suitcase? What's going on?
I'm fine.
I'm just worried about you.
I said, I'm fine.
Who is this woman?
That's my Oma.
That was all she had.
I remember so much screaming.
I didn't want you to know her.
Why?
Some Koreans believe that life's hardships are caused by the tormented spirits of their ancestors.
Amanda, you okay?
I think there's something wrong. Is this what you want? A final resting place? Amma's here.
That was the trailer for Oma, starring Sandra Oh, Fivel Stewart, Demont Molani, Odia Rush, just to name some. A quick synopsis for this is, Amanda and her daughter live a quiet life on an American farm, but when the remains of her estranged mother arrive from Korea, Amanda becomes haunted by the fear of turning into her own mother. Now, as y'all know, if y'all been listening for a while, you know that I'm a big Sandra Oh fan. I love her work and everything she does is always on point and brilliant. I've never seen her turn in a bad performance, and this is no exception. She really does an amazing job. I love the direction that they did with this. I do like some of the scares they had. The cast was very on point. They all did an amazing job, except when it comes to them talking in Korean. It just felt like it was American Koreans trying to sound like they're native Koreans. And it was really bad. Sandra Oh is the only one that I will say in the movie can get away with that because she was born in America. She was raised in America. So thus, her Korean shouldn't be not native. Like, it should. It'll be her second language. But for, like, the character of her mother and the character of her uncle that brings the urn to her, their Korean sounds bad. Like the whole time I'm hearing him talk, all I'm thinking about, he must be American. Because there's such a heavy accent every time he talks. And same thing happened with the mother. And I don't know if that was intentional or is because they were just talking really slow. It's definitely not intentional because they were emphasizing every syllable when they were talking in Korean. And I'm like, and it had me very confused. I was like, what is going on? I expect a lot better, you know, interaction with this considering I'm pretty sure the director himself is Korean. At least I think he is. Or she is. I don't know who that doesn't say. But yeah, it is just an odd part, but that's, the uncle's only in there for like 5 minutes of a conversation, then he's gone, but then the mother, you do hear every once in a while, and that's, for me, as a person that, you know, just constantly listening to languages all day, it's very jarring to hear that supposed to be a native speaker not sounding like a native, if you know what I mean. Honestly, that doesn't detract, even though I'm harping on that, it doesn't detract from the movie itself, which is a good thing. The movie itself is very nice. It is definitely a horror film, if you didn't get that, because she is really being haunted by her mother. And it's because her mother died. Now she needs to perform the funeral rituals or the funeral rites and everything involved. And at the same time, it becomes a catharsis for her because she needs to get over this. Like, her mother beat Sandra. Like, Sandra O's mother here in this movie beat her when she was a little child. Not just like she beat her with a belt or whatever. No, she beat her with an electrical cord that was ripped open, and you could see the electricity come out of it, and she would get beat with that and be electrocuted with that. So now Sandra Oh has developed this fear of electricity, and she lives on this farm with her daughter with no electricity whatsoever. It's all just gas power, or, you know. Then the daughter wants to go to college, but Sandra Oh has a hard time, you know. She has a hard time because she doesn't want her to leave. She wants her to stay there with the farm because this honeybee thing that they do for, like, a project as a mom and daughter ended up becoming a big hit online with some online people. So the guy is just saying, yeah, I'll like more honey. As much as you can make, we would like to get your honey. Which is a friend of theirs, right? Who part of this town. And also, at the same time, Sandra Oh doesn't tell her daughter about, you know, their life. She lied to her. You find out through the uncle that once she left her mother, she changed her name. She doesn't use any emails or anything like that. Phone, she doesn't have phone numbers or anything. She lives 100% off the grid because of the whole trauma that she suffered from her mom. By the end of it, you start seeing that, yeah, it is a horror film. She does get possessed at one point by her mother's ghost, and she starts attacking Sandra Oh's daughter. And it's just really good. It is low budget, but it is a good film overall. I enjoyed myself with this very much. I loved it. It was really fun for me. Oma was officially awesome. It covers a lot, just like the other movie I just talked about. Just like Look Away did, it handles a lot. This handles a lot also. It handles abuse, trauma, you know, forgiveness, anger, the whole spectrum. And it does it so well. And that falls directly on top of Sandra Oh's performance. And she just, like a boss, just handles it well. It is definitely worth watching. I understand some of you might not like horror, but I did not find it that very scary or scary at all. I'm like, oh, there's a, you know, there's a jump scare. Ooh, another jump scare, you know, that type of stuff. But overall, it really wasn't scary. It was just very interesting to me. I enjoyed it very much. Again, not just Sandra Oh's performance, but the entire cast performance, especially her daughter, did a great job with what she had. But this was definitely a Sandra Oh movie. She was brilliant in it. And the fact that she had to play at times two different characters. She has to play herself being scared, and then at the same time play the mother that's possessing her. She did very well. It just speaks so highly of her. I hope to see her in more and more stuff. Stuff like this, where she gets to, you know, pursue more and do more and branch out more. You know, branch out and, you know, show what she can really do and show more of what her acting is all about. But yeah, that's where I'm going to leave it for this week. Yes, it is a short episode, but I think that I've given you all enough for everything that I've talked about this week. And I just don't want to give away too much when it comes to Oma, even though I pretty much gave away the whole movie. But yeah, go watch it. It's available everywhere right now. Just rent it. And if you like it, purchase it. And also, don't forget that everything I talk about is available for you in the show notes. It's all there for you, waiting for you to click on. And if you agree with me or disagree with me in anything I have to say this week, you can always let me know at jailplacepodcast@gmail.com or on Twitter at jailplace78. Again, there are links for you in the show notes. And if you're new here, thank you for staying this long. And if you're returning, thank you for coming back. And remember, leave the world a little bit better than how you found it.